Good evening. This is the CEO call on, 25 October 2017, 9 p.m. Eastern. Now, last week, you guys had a little reprieve from me. I was off a little over 100 miles away doing some court observing myself. Little podunk town out in the middle of the grain fields, the rolling hills. This town is so big that you blink your eyes, you've done pass through it without seeing it. But it is the county seat. Got the courthouse there, sheriff's office. Hey, they do have a motel there. Nothing else. But anyway, I went there as a courtroom observer for a friend of mine. Didn't go so well. I mean, the flag indicated it was a Article III court. No gold fringe on the flag. Amazing, huh? The judge gave some wonderful jury instructions. But the prosecutor was definitely not Article III. Neither was the arresting officer that testified against the man that he arrested. And, of course, my friend's attorney, he was just so sure he was going to win the case. There was no way to lose. And before it was over, I told him, I said, the best outcome for this trial will be a hung jury. Because things that should have been said have not been said, meaning the attorney. Too nice of a guy. So it was a unanimous guilty verdict on a crime without a victim. Shouldn't have even been arrested. The night he was arrested, he had guns in the vehicle, so the state police took possession for safekeeping. And because Oregon just passed this stupid unconstitutional gun law, and part of his sentencing was probation, there were no criminal or no felony to it, but now he's told he can't have his guns. Even after the judge said, return his property to him. So once again, the good guys lost another battle. However, it's not over yet. The judge told him, you have the right to appeal. And so he is setting that up. So, the trial in Nevada started Monday. They even interviewed Dan Love, the rogue BLM agent that was in charge during the standoff at the Bundys. However, I guess they were afraid to bring him to Nevada because they had him testify via live video stream from Utah with his attorney standing there with him. What he did do is open the door to some more work for the attorneys by saying that at some point during the standoff, people in Washington, D.C. took command and overrode his orders. So no names were mentioned yet, but I think there's going to be some demands to know who it was back in D.C. that was calling the shots. So anyway, but this morning there's a video showed up, and it was talking about how old man Cliven Bundy was handcuffed in a chair and made to watch as marshals beat up on Ryan and Ammon Bundy. They had abrasions and marks on them when they came into court shackled. Judge refused to enter any of it into the record. Now the attorneys all gathered and took pictures and testimony and stuff from Ammon and Ryan and Cliven. But Cliven was told, you sit there and keep your mouth shut. You open your mouth and you're going to get some of it too. This man's in his 70s. They're threatening to beat up on him. He was made to sit there and watch the abuse of his sons. So the attorneys in Nevada are asking for everybody to grab onto this video and make it go viral. Get the word out. So far, I know that one journalist has sent the video to President Trump and to one of the senators, along with a letter explaining everything. How many more have done that, I don't know, but I'm hoping that a lot of people have. So that's what Ollie was in an uproar about this morning.
Where's the video?
Now, has anybody else has anyone else had any court observing done over this past week? Maybe 2 weeks? Has anybody been on the NLA website on Court Observers page? Guess not.
I am. I guess I'm the only one.
Has anybody opened up the Constitution book?
I have.
Hey! How far did you get?
I was just checking something. I feel like, I feel like that it's just looking up specific words. Now I'm down to where, you know, some of these words, not even phrases, but sometimes they use a word that changes things or makes something different. So I was checking on something like that, but I had to pipe up and say I'd been in it.
Just know that the Constitution is written in common language. It says what it says. It doesn't say what it does not say. There's no trickery in the wording. It's just straight up the truth. What you see, what you read is what it says. However, there are some words that, you know, you may want to go in the Black's dictionary, I guess it is, or law books or whatever it is, to get the meaning of the day. So you'd probably want to use Black's Law, fourth or fifth edition at the latest. And
Robert, Jim in New Mexico?
Yes.
Constitution says what it says, what it means what it says, doesn't mean what it doesn't say.
I was just quoting Scalia.
Yeah, well, Captain John talked about it last week, and I repeated that a few times. So I was reading the Constitution book last couple of days, and you know the controversy over don't say you're a person, say you're a people, otherwise you get listed as a corporate, all that BS.
Yeah, that's the word game that we don't play.
Yeah, you know, because right off the bat, in Article 1, Section 2, qualification of members, it says no person shall be representative, you know. And then I was comparing the 14th Amendment to the Privileges and Immunities Clause, and they speak of people as citizens and persons. And, you know, so that is all BS for anybody to start going, uh-oh, I have to say I'm a people, I'm not a person, or I'll get classified and we'll have no rights.
Well, you know, them later amendments came about after they started incorporating everything, and, you know, they made corporations.
Right.
And everything above the 10th probably should be deleted.
Agreed. And anytime anybody wants to talk about the 11th Amendment, the fraud of that, and that is what you just spoke of, the Constitution says what it means, but if you look at the 11th Amendment, that is whether the federal government has a reach in a lawsuit where a citizen of a state would like to sue its state for being injured. And the theory that states have immunity, you can only sue through a state court. You can't sue through a federal court. And right there is fraud, because if Anton Scalia was right that the Constitution means what it says, it doesn't mean what it doesn't say, then these judges have committed fraud in the interpretation of the 11th Amendment.
Sure.
Totally agree, though. Yeah. After 10, scrap it.
Right. That would be my recommendation.
Except for maybe isn't the women's right to vote after that? It is, so.
Well, whenever you start looking at a lot of the amendments, you find that they were not constitutionally approved. They're not ratified properly.
Yeah, that's all throughout history, even before we were born.
So we would do well to make that right. You know, actually, they're null and void because they weren't ratified properly.
Agreed.
Hello, Robert. I'm North Carolina, Margie.
Yes.
Hello, everybody. I've got a question, what he just was saying. Can't we say, yes, we are the people, but can't we say...
We are the people.
We are a person. We are a person. Are we a citizen? Can we say we're a citizen?
All three.
Well, yeah.
And that mumbo jumbo connected with 13th, 14th Amendment, you know, you're a citizen of Washington, D.C., you know, the Organic Act of 1871. It's time we just realize it is mumbo-jumbo. So if you're born in the United States, you're a citizen of the United States, you're a person of the United States, you're a one of we the people, period. And,
or you can say people,
and,
you can say person, you can say we
can.
The people.
You can, and I just noticed in the Constitution right off the bat, I didn't read the second part of that, which... Let me read it now.
Your name, I know you're from New, you said New
Jim,
Mexico.
Jim, I'm from Mexico.
What's your name?
Jim.
Jim, hi Jim.
Hi, where are you at?
Charlotte, North Carolina.
All right. This is in Section 3 of Article 1. It's about the Senate. And it says, qualifications of members, no person shall be a senator who shall not have attained the age of 30 years, have been 9 years a citizen of the United States. So right there, they call we the people persons and citizens, and this is long before the Organic Act of 1878 and all those amendments after 10. And when I first started getting involved in this heavy, I don't know how many times I was warned, don't call yourself a citizen, be careful about calling yourself a person. And there's the evidence right there.
So it's good. It's okay to say.
That's correct.
To reiterate, to say citizen.
Person
people,
or people.
Person.
You know, the
people,
preamble has
we
got
the
we the. Preamble's got we the people, in order to form a more perfect union. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the first few paragraphs, you've got all three proofs, and so don't let anybody. Tell you otherwise from now on.
Yeah, I read that not too. Yeah, I read that not too long ago. What section is that again? Is it
Article 1, Section? Section 3, Part C. It's about the Senate.
Okay.
Qualifications of members.
Thank you.
You know. You know, I suggest everybody read and reread. Actually, even before that, Article 1, Section B, qualification of members for the House of Representatives, they say the exact same thing, no persons and citizens of the United States. And then, you know, above that in the preamble, we the people, so we're people, we're persons, we're citizens being lied to by this group that has... pull the wool over our eyes for so many years and born into all this. So I was just watching 8mm movies my father took in the 1950s and 60s,
And, you know, right there is the renewed tag on a license plate for the year 1960, which I've been fighting in the state of New Mexico. And, you know, it's been going on a long, long time.
Sure, that's right.
Well, I'm glad that you've been reading and pay attention to the Constitution there, Jim. That's this is what everybody needs to do. And what you were just talking about is one of the reasons why I say when you go into the Constitution to learn it, read through it a couple of times and then read it maybe one little paragraph at a time, or even just a sentence at a time, paying attention to the words and making sure that any word you do not understand, look it up so that you have the meaning. And you start seeing these little things like we the people and citizen and person. And there's a lot of things, if you just read through it, you miss individual words. And so by going through it, reading it a couple of times, and then just taking your time and going a paragraph at a time, maybe the next time a sentence at a time, and stopping at every word that you don't fully understand and looking it up, you begin to see many things in the Constitution that you didn't see just by reading through it.
I agree, yeah. Robert. Yeah, sometimes you have to read something 2, 3, 4 times and just really slow
right.
down and
right.
contemplate.
And
the
Constitution is not that. It's not that long. It doesn't take long to read through it. But one needs to take the time and go through it thoroughly to get the full meaning of everything. And
that's
the more
right.
we know, the more we know on it, the better off we are when dealing with the law, the courts, and everything, because we definitely need to be educated on it. And we definitely need to have an understanding so that we can help each other.
I mean, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, my name is Jacob. I'm here in Iowa. Another NLA member from Nevada, from Las Vegas, I think, called me and gave me all the code and access for this.
Okay.
I'm an NLA member, and I was putting out the call for anyone in Kentucky to be a courtroom observer in Mayfield and Graves County Court on Monday morning.
Okay, well, welcome to the call.
Yeah, thank you.
Glad to have you here. And anybody else that wants to come in, they're welcome.
Yeah, my name's Jacob. Who are some of the other people here?
Well, I'd like to see everyone in the NLA become a court observer to help understand, if nothing else, you know, help them understand what we are all about with the NLA, what we're doing, and where the courts are, and, you know, it gives us a basic understanding of what we're fighting. And, you know, the gravity of the job, it's just humongous. We have so many years of corruption to fight, to correct, and to bring back to what it's supposed to be and make America the constitutional republic that we're meant to be.
Amen.
Right. been lied to. Robert, what was that video you're talking about? I didn't get on the call in the beginning.
Let's see here.
I'd like to look it up. Read, watch it.
Yeah, it's where am I at here?
Is it a recent one or something?
It just came out. It's all over Facebook right now.
Okay.
And it's I'll find it here in a second.
Sure. Yeah. When you get a chance, the title of it is what I need. Then I'll just Google it. I'll go to YouTube or.
Robert, is that the Rick Corbett one?
Yes. Yes.
Ammon and Ryan Bundy abused again, brought to court in shackles, 10/24/17.
Yep.
That's the title of it?
Right.
Ammon Bundy.
And Ryan. Ammon and Ryan Bundy. Abused.
Abused.
Again.
Again. Okay.
Brought to court.
Brought to court.
In shackles. It's dated 10/24/17.
10/24/17. Okay.
And the fellow's name that did it is Rick Corber, I guess. K-O-E-R-B-E-R.
K-O-E.
E-R-B-E-R.
First name is Rick?
Yes. R-I-C-K.
Okay, thank you. Again.
Yep.
Jan, I had too many windows open.
Welcome to the club.
I do too. I do the same thing. I've got so busy. You got all these windows open, and it slows things down. I guess right on the. And then sometimes you have to. It locks it up, and you've got to restart your computer.
Well, I had to keep trying to change things around because my windows overlap each other.
Oh.
Because I didn't set it up for all of that. But
can someone tell me the name of the Kentucky Federal District leaders?
Kentucky Federal District leaders.
Yeah. Is that on the site?
Hold on a sec. I don't believe so.
Jam is the keeper of all the good information.
Yes.
Can I give you guys my email out? Is that okay?
If you like.
Yeah, I appreciate it if someone would email me. It's jacob@praiseyah.com.
Somebody get that?
Is it what's in your my account?
Yeah, I just want to make sure I can get some people from Kentucky. I mean, I see there's some listed. I haven't been able to get a hold of any, but.
How long have you been a member?
About a year. I'm almost done with the civics class.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I've been like doing habeas corpus for a friend and working on arms control and a Hillary Foundation with another auditor from the military. And yeah, there's another case in Kentucky. I have three cases I'm working on right now.
Okay.
I wanted to start a committee of safety on arms export control.
I only find one person in Kentucky. That's Samuel. I can get you his phone number, okay? I'll email it to you.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great if you could do that.
Have you tried the state coordinators or co-coordinators, if there are any, or the county coordinators? He's in Jefferson County.
Yeah. Jefferson, yeah, I'll be in Graves. There'll be Graves County. It's 8 a.m. It's 8:30 on the docket, but I think the courthouse opens at 8 a.m. And the name on the suit is Ambergy.
Okay.
Yeah, Ambergy versus Ambergy. You'll see it. Yeah, I mean, anyone, you don't have to be from Kentucky to come down there to observe. But it is a hearing. It is a hearing on a protective order. For two spouses. One against the other.
Okay, Jacob. I'm setting up an email for you. If you don't get it by tomorrow morning, it should go out right away. Email me at Jan@National Liberty Alliance, and I'll resend it. Okay.
Okay, you're Jan. All right, I get you. Jan, I get you.
All right.
Yep. Okay. Jan.
Okay.
Nice to hear from. Are you in New York? Or is that?
I'm in Pennsylvania.
Oh, Pennsylvania. Okay. Carl's in New York.
Carl's in New York. Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm just getting everything figured out here. That's awesome. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I want to get more in touch with my people in Iowa, too. I haven't been able really to get in touch with them, so. Better on that front, but.
Do you know about all the different committees that we have?
Yeah, I do. I've seen them all, and I know you have to start one to be a jury administrator or whatever, and I was trying to finish up that civics course and, yeah, get the affidavit submitted or whatever, but, yeah, I want to do arms exporting. Do you know if there's an arms exporting control committee?
No, there's not.
Yeah, you guys know about the arsenals near around the time of the Revolution?
I don't know anybody that might be something that we need to talk about when you're ready to get into it.
Yeah, I have a case by my friend Donald Tang. Yeah, he was doing a key TAM case as a realtor under the 1980 whatever False Claims Act, and he's got it all the documentation. Everything's all set up. He just needs to go into a court of record, not do a statutory thing. But we're going to take it to the Senate because they're calling for people to come forth about the Hillary Foundation.
Okay.
Good.
Jacob, I've got two Jacobs in Iowa. One has a phone number, begins with 319. The other has a 256. Which one are you?
I'm 309.
309 or 319?
19.
Okay, gotcha. That's the one I grabbed. Okay, I'll pull out a couple other names for you and get this on the way.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
I've got a question.
Go ahead.
It's to do with the courts. I'm kind of confused on, you know, you have statute grand jury and you have common law grand jury. So in the district courts, which if someone goes to trial, in or wants a trial or due process, would it go to a statute grand jury? If it's
everything goes to the statute grand jury right now. And that's one of the things that we're trying to change. See, in 1946, some judges and lawyers changed a few words and hijacked the common law grand jury illegally. You know, they didn't have the right to do it, but they got away with it for a while. And so that's one of the things that we're doing right now is working to take back the common law grand jury as it's supposed to be. But right now, the only one in existence is in New York for the national.
Where is it?
Well, it's based in New York, but it's a national common law grand jury that we have.
Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, right?
Right.
But my question is, they call them, you know, grand juries, but it's the statute grand jury.
They're unconstitutional.
Okay. That's what. Would you get a fair trial? They say, okay, you want to go to trial? You want to, we'll go to the grand jury here. I just wonder.
See, you have to understand that a grand jury is supposed to be called normally prior to a person being arrested, unless it's like an emergency, but in that case, then a grand jury should be called within probably 48 hours afterwards, after the emergency. And they are 25-person grand jury. They determine the evidence and all to make sure that, you know, they make the decision whether it's to go forward through the courts or not. And if they decide that it is to go through the court, that it's serious charge, that there's enough evidence, then they send it to the courts, to the Pettit jury, the 12-person jury.
Here in the district court, the statute.
Everywhere. All courts.
That's the procedure, what you're
saying. Right.
So, but is it fair? That's what I'm thinking in my mind, you know, okay.
Well, the grand jury that we have today is not fair.
Okay, that's what...
Because a grand jury operates in secrecy, is supposed to, and it's administered by the people and for the people. Well, today's grand jury...
Statute grand jury, or...
they have a prosecutor or district attorney in charge, and mm-hmm. they only give the grand jury the evidence they want them to have. And that's why the saying, they could indict a ham sandwich, because, you know, they give the evidence that's going to get them the verdict that they want. So it's not a fair grand jury.
And they could taint it. They could taint the 12 people, right? The jury.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yep.
Well, then, you know, I wouldn't waste my time with that. So I'm going to the federal. I'm going to open up a, you know, court of record. I'm going to the federal. We're going to fight it, and we're going to see you in the federal court, right? Federal.
Well, if you if you're not getting a fair trial in the state or district, and you want to, you know,
yes,
you have the right to take it to a federal court.
But you have to go, Robert, I guess you have to go this route first, this procedure
not
first, number
jury,
one.
No, you just, you know, there's a procedure, and before you do it on your own, you need to know the procedures, and that's, I won't go into that because I'm not up on it as much as I should be, but John Durash is the one you need to talk to on that, him or Gerard.
But, I mean, let's say, you know, okay, you did something wrong. You know, everything, this is a level court. This is a small court. The district court is the bottom line. I mean, it's the bottom court. But everything has to go the way you're saying. Everything has to go through the statute grand jury first, right? I mean, it has to be tried there. Is that correct?
Yes.
And if you're not getting what you want, or, you know, I say, then you demand, okay, I want it to go to the Supreme Court.
Well, there's procedures on all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's what I'm
Are you doing it on your own, or are you using...
Oh, no, I just love to learn. No, I don't have a problem, but... I think you can bypass all that and just go to you open up your court record to the, see, I live in Charlotte, North Carolina. So every state has a federal courthouse, right? Could I go there and open up a court record or?
Yeah, there might be a couple federal districts on the district level in your state. It's possible. Depends where you are.
Have up to four.
This is Jim in New Mexico. If I can interrupt, the last two Monday night calls, John Durash talks a lot about what you're wanting information on. So if you go to the site and listen to this.
Yes, I did.
I listened to everything. It's how I learned by listening a lot. But I just...
Well, John Durash and Gerard are the ones that need to give you the information you need there.
If I interrupt, you're not going to get any traction in the federal grand jury. We have been trying that in the Southern District in New York and federal courthouse in Newark, New Jersey. You're lucky if you don't get beat down by the U.S. Marshals.
You mean in each state? So we have a federal district courthouse. Remember in the past, John Durash, we did all this paperwork. And so I volunteered to go to, and some other people did too, to go to our federal district courthouses in each state, mine in Charlotte, North Carolina. So I did, and I asked them some questions. And they didn't know anything about it. So then I wrote an affidavit about it, and sent it to John Durash. And they just threw it away, we used our own case number and all, made up a case number and everything. So you're saying...
You're not going to get anywhere near a federal grand jury. That's what I'm saying.
Couldn't you file for an administrative hearing for that one, though? If it didn't go through, you could make it go through with an administrative hearing. Does anyone know about that?
I've heard of an administrative hearing, yes.
Is John Durash on the call? He's not here, is he?
No, he's not on the call tonight.
Are there other legal guys? What about, we don't have Bill Thornton on the call, do we?
For questions like this and everything, that needs to be on Monday night. call.
Oh, is it? I'm sorry. What is? Is this the committee of safety night?
This is the courtroom observer. This is the courtroom observer.
Oh,
meeting.
Okay, perfect. Okay, okay. Right.
Well, it's
right
a good
on.
Place to ask these questions, or it's, you know, get try to learn, or.
Okay. Tell me. So I get my ID, my National Liberty ID, and laminate it, and get some for the people who are going to come.
Well,
if they're NLA members,
that's always best is to have an ID.
Uh-huh.
You know, you can make it yourself if you just. What I did mine was I typed on a piece of paper, courtroom observer at the top, my picture in the center, and at the bottom I put National Liberty Alliance. And laminated it.
Okay. Now, can someone who is like maybe in any neighboring states of Kentucky, would they? I don't know if Monday night is too this is too sudden, but yeah, next Monday or Monday morning. Yeah, that's when that's going on in Graves County Courthouse.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, what is that, 10:30, 17? Yeah. Yeah, there's something pretty important going on with this case. Yeah, I wanted to ask you guys about the secure uploads, like sharing like files and stuff. Where is there a secure link that we do that on?
Not sure what you're asking there.
Well, I think my email account is secure. I know that I use this an encryption thing. I just want to make sure that anyone that does email me doesn't do it through like through Yahoo or something like that. You know.
Okay. No.
Because you know about there's a searchability of certain corporate files like GPS and certain email servers and certain. A cell phone company can sell your information to the highest bidder. So I always try to communicate on good email servers.
Right. Well, I'm not sure that there are any safe ones at all, but
yeah. Well, I mean, like I know the people who own the server, you know. So and I
right.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think this is a big case, and I want to share it with people like John DeRosh, but
be good
yeah,
to share it with him.
What'd you say?
Be good to share it with him.
Yeah, it would be. Okay, good. Good, yeah. Okay, awesome, yeah. He's at John DeRosh at nla.com. Okay. I'll figure it out.
John DeRosh at nationalliberty.org is his email.
Yeah. Yeah, again, if anyone else is listening, that name is Ambergy on the hearing in the morning. It is a protective order hearing.
Okay, it's just a hearing, though.
Yeah, it is just a hearing. Is that maybe not as essential to have observers there?
Yeah, it's an ongoing thing, man. It's it'll just be the judge, the DA, and defendants and attorneys there, I guess.
There's no one else allowed there?
Well, they won't have a jury until the trial comes up.
But it's an evidentiary hearing, so the evidence will have to be filed. Anyone who wants to testify has to file before at the hearing?
Well, at a hearing, that's all it is. It's just...
But the evidence is the evidence that they have at the
yeah.
time of the hearing, right?
Well, I mean, that's... if there is any, they can submit it. but it's not a trial yet. It's just a hearing, and it's probably just more or less checking status to make sure everything is running smoothly and proceeding properly.
Well, isn't that, Robert, what they have first? You have a hearing first to see if it's enough evidence and all to then proceed to a trial?
No, that's the job of the grand jury. And then, on cases that are drawn out, then they'll have different status hearings along the way before the trial comes up. And it's usually just a few minutes long, and it's just a discussion.
What about
is basically all it is.
Can I ask you a question? I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Do you know about the next friend, being a next friend? Do you know what that is?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell me if I have a defendant and I would like to be his next friend, what he would have to do, what he would have to file?
Well, you don't have to file anything. If there is he in jail?
No, he's not. He just has to get to this hearing.
He doesn't need to have a next friend then.
He doesn't need to have what?
He doesn't need a next friend, man.
Yeah.
You know, he's able to fill out his own paperwork.
Yeah, because that's for someone who might be incarcerated. But what
if
what
they're if incarcerated? Then they need a next friend. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What if he became incarcerated for some reason or another, and I needed to carry the case on for him, but I wasn't able to contact him regularly.
Well, if you have the first-hand information and forms need to be filled out, then that's where you come in as a next friend.
Do I state that I am that? Is that all it takes?
Well, there's a form that'd be filled out, yes.
You mean it's a federal form? Or Kentucky form?
Yeah, you're getting beyond me now on that.
All right, that's sorry. I'm sorry. This is not the place for that question.
It's
an affidavit. You'd have to, you have to do an affidavit. Next friend, your next friend affidavit.
As sovereign, we can state that. That's how it is, right?
Yeah. It has to be stated on the affidavit, and then also under the plaintiff if you're filing against somebody. Just for future reference, if you're ever looking for federal district leaders, state coordinators, county organizers, and so on and so forth, if you go to the website, on the blue banner about halfway across, you'll find a directory listed, and just hold your mouse button over it, and there's a drop down with about a dozen things on it, and they're all listed there. You can click any one of them, and you'll get the entire list for the country for state coordinators and for federal district leaders, and if you can go to the county organizers, you can get those for each state as well. So they're all there available for anybody that wants them, with phone numbers and that sort of thing.
I have a question.
Okay.
Isn't there only one kind of court that can hold people in contempt, or am I off on that?
Common law.
Does it have to be like a court of record before they can use contempt of court?
Yes. According
okay,
to John.
So, what?
That's in district
according to
court.
John, I think.
Wait a minute, I didn't hear you. What did you say, Jan?
According to John.
Oh, okay.
Common law
and
courts. Courts of record have the power to do that, yes.
Okay. Are all of our district courts, when we go in, say we're in the county, then there's the county and there's the state and there's the federal district court. Are all of those district courts, county, state, and federal, are they all courts of record?
No. I think only the federal district courts are supposed to be courts of record, and they really don't practice what they are supposed to.
And the
Just
a minute. The other ones are, then they're administrative. Would you guys title or put them in the category of administrative courts?
Yes. There's another term, too, Robert. What's the other one they go by?
The
Nisi Prius.
Well, yes, that too. But what's the, that's one I never remember.
Equity in probate.
Equity courts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or fiction will do.
Right.
Okay. So the district courts are, we call them either administrative or equity, and they can be Nisi Prius, but that's kind of a different category.
No, you were referring to the county and the state courts. They're all
Wait a minute, I can't hear you, Jan. What'd you say?
The county and state courts are the fiction.
All courts of Iowa are courts of record. I happen to know that. And law and equity is separated in Iowa.
Okay.
They
have operating
courts of record in Iowa still?
Well, I think it has to be done according to common law procedure, which dates back, and it has to do with bringing the flag into court and stuff, kind of the Iowa flag.
Because all of our courts in Pennsylvania are supposedly courts of record, but if you go into the local county court, you'll see that flag flying with the fringe around it, which is either the admiralty or militia. They're not courts of record.
Okay, so
and they'll suck
in,
you into them.
Sorry. If you're in an equity court, I mean, I'm just wanting to make sure I've got this right. If you're in an equity court, they do not have jurisdictional authority or whatever kind of authority they need to put people in contempt of court.
That's
in
what
general.
John says. They don't have the jurisdiction. Yes.
And so they can't fine people either, and they also can't incarcerate them.
Right.
Do I have that right?
No, well,
but
they can incarcerate.
Yeah.
Mental committals are under equity, under probate, guardianship.
I'm not going there. Yeah, I'm not going that far. What did you try to say, Jan?
You were right the way you stated it.
Okay. So if they wanted to hold somebody in contempt of court in, like if I'm down here at our district court and they say you're in contempt of court, then what are they doing wrong? I mean, what option do they have with a person who might not be following the order that they gave them? What should they be? What should we look for as courtroom observers if they're doing it right?
Well, they can't do it right, right?
Because they don't have it right.
They don't have the authority. They don't have the jurisdiction. But they do it all the time because they're in control.
Well, if somebody doesn't follow the orders of an equity court, what can they do with that person? I mean,
they'll have the sheriff arrest you and throw you in jail, even though
they
don't have the authority. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean,
they put people
in. We all know
what, court.
Yeah, we all know what they're doing. We all know what they're doing that they shouldn't be doing. But what's their option lawfully? What should they be doing if they give somebody an order, if we're down there and we hear them that they've given somebody an order, the person didn't follow it, they call them back in and the person goes in, what authorization under the law, the real law, does the judge have at that point? Nothing.
You'll have to ask John then.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, it's only what is not asserted. Like if the person doesn't assert their sovereignty and doesn't object to the Nisi Prius, so that's the whole thing. Is that Nisi Prius means unless you like object first or something like that. So it's like you need to object to the straw man citizen court. And you need to assert your sovereignty. You're saying I'm not here on privileges and immunities. I'm not here on protecting the public safety. I have a right to be here as one of the people. So it's not a citizen matter. It's a sovereign matter. I don't consent to being contracted into that. So that's the whole thing about you have to be reasonable and assert and explain what you're talking about, because if you understand that it operate, they're operating it as if it was a constructive trust, things like that, and they're trying to play certain roles in administering your trust, you come mm-hmm. as the beneficiary, as the sovereign, as the heir, and you are the executor. You can execute it. You're the sovereign.
You are playing the word games, and we don't do that.
Yes, right. And was that Jason that was just talking?
I wasn't Jacob. Trying to play word games. I'm trying to understand sovereignty, but I believe in it.
Well, Jason, is there any way, would you feel comfortable to give me your phone number, or could you stay on the line for a minute after the call and I'll give you mine?
I'll give you my phone number. It's 319-538-8058.
Okay, that was 309-538-8058.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. It's Jan in Kansas. I'll be calling you.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, yeah, I'll hang up. I'm hanging up now. I don't want to take up time talking on your lines too much. You guys got a lot of talk about, so.
Well, we're at the end of our hour. Is there anybody that has anything that they need to bring up?
Yes, that Mrs. Margie in North Carolina. That man, I'm not sure what his name is, he said you don't get anywhere. You know, we all have a federal district court in the state. He said you can't get anywhere there.
Yeah,
so,
that's me.
What's your name?
Terry.
Terry, hey, Terry. And where are you from?
New Jersey.
New Jersey.
First hand.
Tell me, where do you go next? What's the next step? What do you do?
There really is no next step.
Supreme Court?
We're trying to figure out, you know, we have gone and actually hand-delivered complaints to the grand jury office with the instruction that they are not to be intercepted by the prosecutor and to be handed directly to the grand jury. So, in fact, that's exactly what happened. We got a response back from the prosecutor's office with a form to fill out. So they are interfering with our access to the grand jury. So if you have a problem with
which grand jury are we talking about? The statute grand jury or?
Well,
that's the only one
the
that's operating.
Grand jury.
Okay.
The federal grand jury in New York and the federal grand jury in New Jersey. They will not allow you to get access to that grand jury. The federal attorney is going to intercept it, and if it has anything to do with any of the criminal activity that they are involved with, and a lot of it is, they will intercept it, and it will never see the light of day.
And okay. That's why John is talking about informing the sheriffs, because in a constitutional mm-hmm. country, honest country, when you see fraud like that in the courts, you would report that to the sheriff, and the sheriff would take action on it.
And the sheriff is a political animal, and he knows
under
he's not going to do anything either.
Right. Under a perfect world, the sheriff would do something about it, but... under the statute law that they're governing it by right now, it's mm-hmm. not going to happen.
It's like with the Bundys, you know, and all that. So they went through trials and, you know, statute grand juries, right, the grand juries. And so it's the same thing. Is that right?
Oh, that's what's...
The citizen juries, right? They're doing it by citizenship. But that's not a citizen immunity or privilege. It's a right to be on a jury as sovereign.
I mean, they went through a grand jury, right? They have a grand jury trial, right? Is that what they're going through?
We're talking different things here, Jacob. You're involved in the fiction. And
explain that to me. I don't understand what you mean when you say that. I know about the straw man thing.
Yeah,
is that what you're talking about? Is that what you're talking about?
The there's a word game. I mean, it's like you got to say you're a person. Don't say you're a people or whatever. You know, it's
we are
a citizen. We are the people. We are a person.
But what's the difference between those?
There is no difference.
But isn't a citizen someone who operates in a privilege or an immunity for the public safety's good?
Voting and
stuff like that, and driver's license.
That's just a word game that gets played, and the judges just laugh at you.
Because that's what's taught on NLA. That's what's taught there, though.
We are strictly...
That's what Bill Thornton... I mean, I'm looking at Bill Thornton's videos, and I'm saying this makes sense to me. It doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense to you guys?
That's in contract law that you're describing right there. So that if you have a driver's license, you have an unending contract for everything else they want.
Okay, I understand about that, but it could be signed without prejudice, and it's for the public safety. That's what the Supreme Court has said.
Well, then that's police powers.
Well, yeah, and we question
without prejudice doesn't really fly anymore.
Hey, here, let's close with this quote from George Washington just before they signed the Declaration of Independence, if you all want to hear this.
Yes,
go ahead.
All right, from George Washington. It says, "Let us have a government by which our lives and liberties and properties will be served," Washington insisted, "or let us know the worst at once."
Well then, guys, we got to do it. We the people. Common sympathies, amen. Hallelujah. I'll see you guys
later. We are the people. We are the people. We are the sovereign. We hold the power.
That's right.
It's supposed to be to protect all of our lives.
We must stand and demand what is right. And we must be ready. We must be ready to fight for it.
Amen.
God bless. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.